G'day friends and friends, Romans and countrymen. G'day, wherever you are at on planet Earth. Hey, I'm here Friday with my weekly Q&A, and in a second I've got five great questions, actually really base level questions about Christian life. How do I know I am a Christian? Do I need to repent of every sin? How do we live a holy life? Is it possible to lose your salvation? Always a fun one. And how can I flourish and grow as a Christian? So I'll jump into those in a moment. Hey, I come here every Friday, try to take about 3 minutes on each question and answer a question. So excuse all the background noise. I've got a whole bunch of crickets and seagulls and animals around me here. I'm live in the south of France in Provence and having a morning coffee and life, it looks good. Hey, before we do that, I always have too many housekeeping things to say, but thanks to everybody who subscribed to our YouTube channel. We just crossed the 30,000 mark yesterday. If you're not yet a subscriber, hit the subscribe button down there. There's a sign up below for our email newsletter. Really encourage you to do that. What else? I have a new course on my ministry school called In the Midst, about God's presence in the midst of his people. Let me do a little adjustment here. Really great teaching there. We have an offer that's normally $80, but it's currently $10, which is a really great offer for that. Big thanks to all of the partners and friends of my ministry as well. We love and appreciate you. And if you're not yet a partner, why not subscribe? Why not sign up and become a partner? There'll be a link below for that. And lastly, if you're not yet a Christian, I'm going to talk about some basic things of Christianity today, but if you're not yet a Christian, and you're interested in exploring what does it mean to become a Christian, send me a message. There should be a link below. You know, my website will be there, and you can contact me through there. And I'd love to talk to you and explore with you what does it truly mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to change glasses here because it is hot out here. Good, let me jump into this one. First question, how do we know we are a Christian? And I want to begin by saying it's actually a great question because the Apostle Peter says, I believe it's in 1 Peter, make your calling and election sure. And in one sense, there's a very real sense in which, how do we know we're a Christian? How do we know if somebody else is a Christian? Only the Lord knows who are his. So we are never qualified or frankly enabled to go around saying that's a real Christian, that's not a real Christian, and to be judging others in that way. And in the same vein, it is difficult to judge yourself. But what I would say is this, I think we can be sure and we can be certain. There's an old song that says, be sure, be very sure your anchor holds and hits the solid rock. And I do think there's a danger, especially in a nation like America where I live, where I'm a citizen now, where I believe there's a lot of people who've grown up in a Christian culture, who prayed a Christian prayer, a sinner's prayer, who go to church occasionally, and who think they are Christians. And I'll be honest, guys, I fear for those people. I don't want those people around me. I would never wish anything I say and do in ministry to give anybody the impression, well, they're safe, as it were. I think we're safe when we press into Jesus. That's the bottom line. I think there's a safe place. I am not trying to keep up my Christian life. It keeps me. But I'm pressing into Jesus. And while we can never judge anybody else or really effectively judge ourselves, what we can do in the Christian life is look for fruit. Jonathan Edwards preached a great sermon a couple of hundred years ago on knowing that you really are a Christian. And I think he gave about 11 proofs. It's from 1 John, his text. But it was things like, do we have love for the brethren? Yeah, do we hate sin? Things like that. Are we a worshiper? And I would look at your life and say, do you hate sin? I didn't say, have you always got victory over sin? But does your sin make you miserable? The danger there is we confuse that sometimes even when we're not a Christian, the consequences of our sin make us miserable. When we're not a Christian, if you're an alcoholic, you may wake up every morning going, oh, I hate myself, I hate my life. When you're a Christian and you sin, you pray like David in Psalm 51, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned. It's not just the consequence of sin that makes us unhappy. It's actually grieving God. So how can we know we are a Christian? Well, I mean, firstly, let me give two really simple answers. Number one, based on God's word. Because anytime we deal with a subjective feeling about, like, I feel I'm a Christian, I've got a goosebump, I'm a Christian, that's dangerous ground. And I want to base everything on the Word. And the Bible says if we'll come to God in sincerity and repentance and call on His name, if we'll turn from our old life and turn to Jesus and cry out to Him to save us, we will be saved. Yeah. Second thing I would say, which is subjective, is Romans 8, that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I believe every true Christian knows that witness-bearing ministry of the Holy Spirit speaking into their lives and hearts, saying, yes, you really are a Christian. So I hope that helps. Come on, question number two. Again, good question. Do we need to repent of every sin? Real quick, I look at this at three levels. Number one, I think we actually should repent of sin. I don't have the time to develop this right now, but the Bible actually talks about sin in the singular. When He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will convict the world of sin. Not sins, sin. And there's a sense in which, especially when we're born again, but in an ongoing way, we say, Lord, I just turned from sin. And it's not particularly this sin and that sin, I was grumpy here and I stole this, and a bit, a bit, a bit, a bit. It's not necessarily every specific thing. Lord, I turn from the dominance of sin to the lordship of Jesus. And that's the safest place to be. You know, key number two, I think if there's known sin in your life, either that you know you've done something that's wrong, or that Holy Spirit comes and prods you and says, hey, that was wrong. Yes, I think in those contexts, it's good to say, Lord, you know, I was wrong, I was rude, I was lustful, I was whatever. Lord, I just call that out before you. I name it for what it is. I'm not hiding it or sugarcoating it. And I repent, I turn from that, and I forgive me, Lord. Yeah, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The problem is, by its very nature, sin blinds us, sin makes it hard to see sin. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. So the danger for all of us is our sin blinds us, and at times we can't see our sin, particularly things like pride. So at a third level, I would be saying to everybody, it's a great prayer to pray at times, quite often, maybe every day, and say, Lord, search my heart and know me, and lead me in the ways everlasting. Lord, I think I'm doing really well today, but my judgment of myself is not a very good basis on which to walk. Lord, you shine the spotlight in my soul. And if there are things you want to put your finger on and say, this is wrong, repent of this, me voila, here I am. I'm open season. I'm willing to play that game. It's not a game. And I think in doing that, my security is not in the fact, my security is not in my appraisal of myself. My security is in the fact that I say, Lord, I don't want anything known or even anything unknown in my life that I can't, you know, that stands in between me. Lord, you be the one, you be the pointer out of sin in my life, not me. So I don't think we have to go through lists of sins. And I've seen at times people, it's sort of like borderline, like they're trying to invent sins to repent of, which, you know, is really dumb. What I would say is, it's great to say, Lord, cleanse me of everything. And Lord, if there are specific things you want to speak to me about, I'm here, I'm willing, I'm available. Boom. Question number three, how can we live a holy life? Well, I have to confess, just yesterday I was reading a book I try to read about every year, a biography of Hudson Taylor. And I love reading his biographies because to me it's probably the best thing I've ever read in the whole of Christian history on how to live a holy life. And it basically comes down to this. You don't live a holy life by trying to live a holy life. You live a holy life by abiding. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. And the very life, you know, I can't separate my right hand from my left hand. If my left hand is holy, my right hand is holy. The vine and the branch, they're the same thing. And our job in the Christian life is to abide and to let His holiness flow through us. And we abide by faith. Now, pause. The danger is, and Hudson Taylor's really great on teaching in this, that we then start trying to have faith, trying to believe, trying to exercise faith. And that is the antithesis, the opposite of faith. So here's how we live a holy life. You get up every day and you say, Lord, thank you. Your holiness is flowing through me. I'm literally doing not, I bring nothing to this party. Your holiness is living in me. Your holiness is flowing through me this day. Thank you, Jesus. You're living through me. I have been crucified with Christ. That's a historical fact. Yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ lives in me. Christ is living through me today, and his holiness is living through me. That may sound overly simplistic. It's actually incredibly profound, and you'll spend all eternity exploring what that really means. But here's the thing, lean into Jesus. Yeah, let go of yourself. Jump into the arms of Jesus. You are not called to fight sin. In effect, you're called to fight everything that would pull you from abiding in Jesus. And as you abide in the Holy One, his holiness will flow through you. Boom. Good. Question number four today. Is it possible to lose your salvation? Oh, no. I don't think it's possible to answer this question without getting a load of hate mail, or it's not always possible to answer this question without... it's not possible to answer this question and say everything that needs saying, especially in about 3 minutes. You see, I would put it this way. Can you lose your salvation ultimately? I think the problem is the framing of the question is wrong. I think we look at salvation, especially in the West, as something that we reach out and we get. Like, I went to a Billy Graham meeting in 1984 and I reached out and grabbed salvation and I am now saved. Yeah. And that, can I lose it? Can I gain it? I would say biblically, being saved is a process that starts before the foundation of the world. I think it starts at Calvary, the day of Pentecost, obviously, at Calvary. It starts the day I received Christ in 1984. It's an ongoing process that's happened every day of my life, and it will reach its culmination in the return of Jesus, or when I die and see him face to face and receive that glorious body. So I have been saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved, and he who endures to the end will be saved. Let me give you an analogy right now. Right now in 2023, I am married. Now in the year 2000, I got married. But right now, today, recording this on a Friday, I am married. Now if you came to me and said, Graham, are you married? And I pulled out a certificate and said, yes, here's the proof I'm married. And then you said, I'd like to meet your wife. And I said, I haven't seen her for years, but I know I'm married because I've got the certificate. You get married, but then married is an ongoing daily, I was going to say daily struggle, a daily joy, a daily process, a daily continuing in that thing. And I look at salvation that way. So being saved is... you is everything God did, but then you responding and receiving that, and then you walking that out. And to be honest, most Calvinists and Arminius, when you really drill down, believe kind of the same thing, that salvation is this ongoing thing. John puts it this way, he said, they went out from us, they left us, because they were never of us in the first place. So can you lose your salvation? In terms of, can you do a bad deed? Can you commit some sin? And God goes, no, you've gone too far this time, buddy. I'm throwing you under the bus. No, I don't believe you can. But I believe you can walk away from Jesus. And I believe that the only way you're saved is by clinging to the Savior, or frankly, allowing the Savior to cling to you. So I am fearful of people who think they're saved and live certain lifestyles or wander far from God. I look at them and go, you're probably not saved. But the end of the story isn't written yet. So again, I'm not trying to confuse you here or be cute about this. I am saying we shouldn't look at getting saved like we look at getting married. We should look at being saved like we look at being married. Yeah. Now, when two people, I'll finish with this, get married at a human level, I can stay within my marriage vows. I can stay committed to my wife, and theoretically, she won't do this, but she could walk away. She could commit adultery. She could break that covenant. It takes two people to stay committed to that covenant. In terms of our Christianity, we haven't actually made a covenant with God. Jesus made a covenant with God, and we are in Christ Jesus when we abide in Him. So He remains faithful even if we walk away. So the great thing about a covenant with God is faithful to His covenant even when we are not faithful. So we never have to wonder about the faithfulness of God. God will never throw us away. But can we walk away from that covenant? Yes, I believe we can, would be my final answer to that. Boom. Last question today. How can you flourish and grow as a Christian? You know, really, I'd come back to question number three and say, how do you live a holy life? I think it's question number three. How do we flourish? We stay planted in Jesus. The biggest key I know to flourishing in the Christian life is trying not to flourish in the Christian life, is trying to bear fruit, I'm trying to be a Christian. And God wants you to relax. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, you're worn out, you're tired out of life. I will give you rest. Lean on me, learn of me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Stay planted in Jesus. Today, the life of Jesus is going to flow through me. Today, the righteousness, the holiness, the joy of Jesus is going to flow through me. Today, the victory of Jesus is going to flow through me. Today, if I am tried or tempted in some way, it's not, I'm trying to resist this temptation, I'm struggling. To me, my struggle is to take my eyes off of that temptation, that seduction, that thing that can draw you in, and put my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And as I look at Him, His life flows through me. So how do we practically flourish in the Christian life? Keep your eyes on Jesus. But how do you keep your eyes on Jesus? Keep your eyes on the Word of God. This is Jesus. Keep your eyes on the promise of God. Literally, yesterday I was reading that passage. It says, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. And it's literally like Jesus got off His throne, gate crashed this house I'm staying in Provence, and said, Graham, peace I give to you, my peace give I unto you. And I'm just like getting blasted with peace reading the book. So how do we flourish? We stay planted in Christ. We stay planted in the Word. We water that. We think on it. We talk about it. We sing about it. We meditate on it. We dwell in the things of God richly, and we allow them to flow in and flow through us. It really is not more complicated than that. I'm hoping to make a video later today in a vineyard, because this area is surrounded by vineyards. And He is the vine, we are the branch. When we abide in Him, we will bring forth fruit. Boom, selah. Guys, have a great day wherever you're at, and whenever you happen to be watching this, hit that subscribe button. Drop me a comment if you've got a question or a suggestion for future questions. I'd love to hear from you. And be blessed as you walk with the King of Kings today, in Jesus' name. Bye for now.